Well, we'll talk a little bit about sunscreens and maybe they're being overused after all, and whether we should be fulfilled by work and what really is it we're looking for when we go to work, and the notion of pride as the new manifestation of the self-esteem movement. But first, there's Geico.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Did you know that 1 in 3 people may be directly connected to the world of adoption in some way in their lifetime? Are you adopted? Know someone who's adopted? Think you know something about the world of adoption? Well, forget what you think you know. I'm Brian Elliott, adoptee and the host of the podcast Living in Adoption Land. This podcast will explore the world of adoption from positive stories to the ones about heartbreak, trauma, and sometimes even a lifetime of silent pain. There are more than 500,000 kids in the foster care system today waiting to find a home. While infertility rates are at their highest in human history, not to mention the pain of a child's search for a biological parent who doesn't want to be found, and the science behind the multi-billion-dollar unregulated business of babies. Join me each week as I share my story and those of many others from all walks in life and all sides of the adoption industry. Available every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. Listen now and leave me a review to let me know your thoughts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the transmitter. Get it on. Dr. Drew's board with specificality and his doctoring ways. What's going on, Drew? Oh, we got to heat up your mic, man.
Uh-oh. There we are. My doctoring ways are very specific.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, if Drew's going to talk, Gary, something to look for, which is somebody tweeted me yesterday, I think it was.
You favorite it by chance?
I think I put a little heart by it. That's right.
Thank you.
it's a picture of a ball player, baseball player, spraying themselves down with sunscreen. And then a study about how the sunscreen actually gets into your bloodstream and blah, blah, blah.
There's been some concerns about the spray on.
Amongst whom? The elite scientific community? Who the fuck was saying this 25 years ago?
So what would the answer be?
Because Emmy and Gary, you know, 25 years ago, I was saying fucking spraying your kid's face with this chemical while they're inhaling it and it smells noxious and versus the sun. I think we're going to see some things down the road here. That's what I was saying. Dermatologists who've shut the fuck up as of recent, or 20 years ago, remember? You put that sunscreen on before you go to the mailbox.
You just every day.
If
every
it's
day. They still say it on your face.
If your
something.
Mailbox is at the end of the driveway and you're going to walk out there at 9:30 in the morning, you put that sunscreen on.
They still have that kind of thinking.
They've slowed the fuck down. Yeah. How much sunscreen talk were you hearing 20 years ago versus today?
Yeah, it was
I'm
more.
Not hearing anything.
Yeah,
it wasn't more. It's exponentially more.
Yes, I agree.
It was close to
secondhand smoke,
non-existent. Yeah, it's up there with the school to prison pipeline,
yes.
Which evidently was fixed or repaired or closed.
Closed down, I guess.
There was the school to prison.
Or I guess
pipeline.
You go to. No, it's closed down. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Well, yeah. So there you go. So the spray on, there are concerns. It's still, you know, you can reduce certain scuffs. The dermatological benefits are sort of undeniable.
I'm not saying, as I'm not saying with almost anything, like. Hydrate. You got to hydrate, right. Man. You got to flush those toxins. You know, you got to hydrate. I'm not saying drinking water is bad. I'm just saying let's not get obsessed with it.
Yes.
It's not making people thinner. people are fatter. Right. Water isn't bad for you, but right. it becomes some sort of catch-all panacea for everything. You got to hydrate more. You know, secondhand smoke, as you'd mentioned, you got to get that sunscreen on. I'm not saying sunscreen is a bad thing. I'm saying the bottle of chemicals that you're spraying all over your kid's face may end up causing some harm. That's all.
That's what there's been concerned about.
A nice broad brimmed hat.
Yes.
And by the way, also, it's not like people weren't dealing with the sun in the past. You know what I mean? They had ways of dealing with it before chemicals being sprayed all over your face.
True. However, what happened in the 60s and 70s, people started slaying in the sun, worshiping the sun, this kind of stuff. Sure. And then they started seeing melanoma and basal cells and squames going up.
Look, wear a long sleeve shirt, put a big brim hat on, and take a walk.
Absolutely. But that's not lying in the sun anymore. You know what I mean? I had a kind of interesting thought this morning about, and I think you've kind of talked about this. And you tell me if
it's interesting.
Yeah, then it's probably yours.
Probably mine.
But the idea of everybody being so proud, you and I have talked about how, Ryan, you're shaking your head. But
that's the worst.
But what I had a little more of a refined idea about it, in the sense that what people are proud of is some sort of random admixture of their genetics, including. And so what I started thinking about was, I understand some of it is a reaction against having been oppressed. I get it. You're going the other way. I get it. But I started still, though, thinking it was so odd. So we've pushed the case very diligently that, for instance, homosexuality is has a genetic underpinning, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think, again, like most human behavior, that's probably true. But the degree to which it's 100% or 60%, we haven't really solved that. But once again, if it is genetic, then it's just the random dealings, random phenomenon of biology that resulted in your being gay. Why would you be proud of random – you know what I mean? Random biology?
Well, look, it's that way with any ethnicity.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's all random biology that sort of – it's kind of a social construct anyway. What we pay attention to doesn't really
– Well, it's the same group. The same group never shuts the fuck up about, this guy is he runs the New York Giants football team. It's only because his daddy owned the team. Yeah. Because of something he didn't control.
Yeah.
He was born into it.
Yeah.
So then you're born into being gay. So you don't like that thing where somebody gets credit for something that they really didn't have any control over.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that same thing and apply it from the guy who's running the New York Giants football team to you and whatever the color your skin is. Or the broader one, the one I always enjoy is just being a woman. You're 50% plus of the globe.
Yeah.
If we flip a coin when someone gets pregnant, there's a slightly higher chance it's a female that's in that womb. That's something. And now we're having a march, and we're having a march because we're women.
Let me ask this.
It's insane. Look, I get the, I'm an ancestor of this tribe that was here in California in the 1600s or something. Okay, there's a little something there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't know why it would affect you today, but okay, you got a little pride because you're an ancestor of, a tribe of Indians that were in the, this state or that state, South Dakota, years before Amerigo Vespucci landed on Plymouth Rock or whatever it was. Okay, good. Good for you. I don't give a fuck, but okay.
Okay.
Good for you. But being a woman, what the fuck is that? That's a thing?
Well, let's drill in a little further. So we wouldn't object, or you probably wouldn't object, to somebody saying, I feel good about my gender, right? I feel good about being a woman, right? Feeling good, you would go, okay, good, right?
I would hope that you're happy about the skin that you're in.
Yeah, feel good, be happy. But pride is a next order thing. And it's something that the Bible used to call a sort of a venial sin, right? Pride and envy were things to be avoided, weren't they?
Yeah. No, that's where we're heading. That's where we're at.
But it's
you
so
can't you cannot break your country into a whole bunch of groups and then expect everything just to roll along. It doesn't work that way. We have broken everyone off into a group as successfully as we can, and then decided that we all need to unite. You know what I mean? But it's like, how are we uniting? You're this, you're that. Why did we create a this and a that?
Well, but creating a this and a that and then to feel good about being a this or that is one thing and probably not a bad thing. But then
it's a little bit bad.
But then to express pride, which is – again, pride is an odd emotion. It makes you feel, what, better than other people or more power? You know, it's there's a reason the Bible had an injunction against it.
Look, here's the problem. The problem with this stuff is kind of a math problem, which is there's, you know, so many hours in the day and so many years on the planet, you know. And, you know, people kind of say to me a lot like, you know, what's wrong with just leaving 2 hours early to the airport or something? Like, what's, you know, I get a lot of like, what's the big thing? You know, why do you care? Or what's that? And I'm like, because it's just one more hour you don't have to do X, Y, or Z. You know, it's not a zero-sum situation. It's not an infinite amount of whatever. It's a finite amount of whatever. So as a human being in America in 2022 who would like to go make their mark and climb the corporate ladder or do whatever your version of success is, the more time that you're kind of satiated talking about your heritage or your sexual proclivities or your pride about your where your family comes from or something, it's one less minute you're going to spend cracking the books or trying to get a degree or certificate for welding or whatever it is. To me, it's like it satiates, which is the satiation part is that's the big problem. You now
because
feel
then why
good.
Would you work to do more things because you're proud of whatever.
Well, one gets an advanced degree or gets a pay raise or gets a teaching certificate ostensibly to feel proud, to feel pride.
Yeah, but you're actively discouraged from feeling that way. You're told to be humility is the virtue.
Your pride comes by being born into a group. I'm a woman. I feel some pride. I don't need my welding certificate. I have a sense of pride from being a woman who's unemployed. And that's what I'm saying is feel a little bit of shame and get the fuck on with it.
Well, to your point about feeling a little bit of shame, isn't that the same sort of alchemy or stoichiometry as the self-esteem movement?
Mm-hmm.
So this is pride and self is in a weird way. Pride
it's all
is,
bad.
Pride is the new self-esteem movement. Right?
Yes. Pride is the new self-esteem movement. It is all something that is from the outside that really has nothing to do with you, that gets infused into you, that then gives you some sense of accomplishment that you had nothing to do with, and thus it satiates.
Is Wawa Wubsy getting into this yet? Have they brought up being proud of who you are? It'd be interesting to see if they've made that shift.
Be the coolest. The coolest.
You should be so proud of being the coolest.
They wouldn't do the coolest today, but they'd probably. There is a lot of pride. And all, by the way, it's all gay pride and this pride and black pride.
No, I get it. Well, Jordan Peters got in trouble talking about it yesterday because he said – remember when pride was a sin? I think he tweeted that. Mm-hmm. And it made me start to think about it. And I was thinking, huh – isn't that interesting that it wasn't? And there was,
but,
and it was like envy. Pride and envy were the two
Jordan
big
Peterson
ones.
Jordan Peterson got into trouble with some MSNBC fucks he doesn't give a shit about. You know what I mean? Or society,
sure.
Or Twitter. Like, is he in trouble? Is there trouble anymore?
I mean, it's never what
him?
Anybody says. It's always what somebody else says you about something you said. It's never what you said. That's the craziness. It's always what somebody else said you said.
Even if you say it, what is trouble? How can Jordan Peterson get into trouble? Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Who the hell knows these days? I mean, who knows where
is anyone
up?
Listening to anybody who's saying you're in trouble? Like, the ladies of The View took great umbrage with what that's a badge of honor now, right?
That I
means
guess,
you're right.
I think.
That means you're over the target.
I think.
Right?
Yes, it should.
Fuck what Joy Behar says anymore?
I'm sure there's liability attached with all of this.
There's liability attached if you are on the left and you have a corporate job and, there's some jeopardy. If you're Jordan Peterson, you think when he goes out on a speaking engagement, there's going to be less people at the event because of this thing he talked about that was called Pride.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Babbel. Summer travel, domestic or abroad. It means immersing yourself in the culture. It's a perfect time to start Babbel. Babbel, language learning app that's sold over 10 million subscriptions. It's addictively fun and easy to learn a new language with Babbel. Whether you're traveling abroad or connecting with family or just to have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized 15-minute language lessons you'll actually use in the real world. Created by over 150 language experts, not AI, plus speech recognition technology, helps you improve your pronunciation and accent as well. Choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. 20-day money-back guarantee. Expand your horizons with Babbel, right, Gary?
Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/ADS. That's BABBEL.com/ADS for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
All right, quick break. Back right after this. All right, Drew, yeah.
So I was interviewing a guy recently on these issues. And he's a guy that goes into workplaces and resolve conflict. And he was saying that these businesses that went over the top with equality and inclusion and started, you know, bringing the total self into the workplace, everybody was unhappy. Everybody was walking on eggshells and it was a bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. And he said he had to teach leaders how to come in and go, I want you to feel supported doing your job. I want you to feel good doing your job. And that's the workplace. Mm-hmm. And if this is not an okay environment for you to work in, you need to work somewhere else. They've gone completely overboard with this stuff, and now we're having to set limits all over the place.
Of course, they eat their own. You know, that's where it goes. It has no end. It's a movement. It's progressive. It has no brake pumping. It's it. Then they'll go after their own, and that'll be that. Then there's nothing. It's inevitable. Is what I'm saying. The other thing is kind of a mindset, and we started doing this thing, and it's probably the absence of religion. So we started saying, are you fulfilled, you know, at work? Are you fulfilled? It's like being fulfilled was your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship with your spirituality. And the
family,
and,
your
yeah, your
community.
Family, your community. That's if work was fucking work.
Yes.
That was work. You went into work. You wouldn't get fulfilled at work. Now, there's such a thing as, you know, a dead end job. Like, I've been digging ditches for 6 years now. I'm not fulfilled. But, you know, I dug ditches and it's not a fulfilling endeavor. But then I kind of worked at it to try to get to a place where I was dealing with tools and materials and putting things together, and it was more fulfilling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It wasn't writing comedy, but it was more fulfilling than digging ditches. And you know, as I passed through putting wood together and using tools, then I started kind of focusing on finish and building cabinetry and doing things that had a little more technique and finesse and things that were more fulfilling than rough framing or, you know, forming for concrete or something like that, you know, or rougher. And then as you go past that, I started at some point to get into like some custom furniture and stuff, which now starts to bleed into a little more artistic and creative. And now it's a little more fulfilling, even more. And then
is it fulfilling or enjoyable or both? Can you differentiate?
It's like satisfying.
Because you're not looking for fulfillment. That sounds like, you know, Satori.
Yeah, you're right. No one used fulfillment.
Yeah, you just kind of enjoyed it more.
It was more satisfying. Yeah, yeah. You felt better at the end of the day. It was a little more interesting.
More interesting.
And, you know, then when I kind of hit the zenith with that, there was, you know, kind of no more in the woodworking department.
God, I would say fulfillment was the least farthest from your mind.
Fulfilled.
That's not something you thought about in the workplace.
Fulfilled is something a chick would say about a relationship where she finally found the right guy after a loveless marriage. You know what I mean? She was fulfilled. That was the discussion.
Yeah. Not what you're building on the cabinets.
Yeah, I've never said fulfilled. I've never felt fulfilled. I mean, unless you go to Boca de Chao, where you get the Brazilian steakhouse, then that's
pretty
fulfilling. Yeah. So, is it Boca de Chao?
Fogo de Chao.
Yeah, I'm thinking Boca de Pepe.
Buca di Beppo.
Buca di Beppo.
Yeah. Fogo de Chao, Buca di Beppo went together.
Boca de Chao and Buca di Beppo. Anyway, the point is this. Then I started getting into comedy, which was even more fulfilling or satisfying or creative or whatever it is. But anyway, the thing about your job is your job was always your job.
Hey, was it more fulfilling because you did comedy because you had to get up at 5 in the morning and catch planes? You know what I mean? Is that more fulfilling?
It's more interesting.
It's more fun. Fun. Fun would be something that people would talk about on the job. I'm having fun working at this.
Yeah. It was about doing what you wanted to do or more of what you wanted to do.
Fulfillment. Just like, no.
Right. So now people go to the job and they want this. Ugh. They want support. They want fulfillment. They want gratitude or whatever. And it's just kind of like, it's a job. You can kind of make of it what you will. If it could be satisfying to you or could not. I mean, a certain amount of discomfort is what you need to motivate you to get out of the ditch and get into the house. Mm-hmm. You know, I literally wanted to go from outside in the sun, you know, digging ditches to inside the house where there was a little bit of shade and I could start working on framing or anything other than the sun. Just sitting out in the sun with a shovel. But so we've created this thing where it's like you need to be fulfilled by work. Now, work inherently is somebody who makes more money than you telling you what to do.
Almost always.
Yeah. So the equation for fulfillment is not a good equation.
Yeah.
It's a guy or gal who is making more money than you, sitting in some air conditioning, telling you, you know, go do X, Y, or Z.
However, what the person who's out toiling would think is, hey, that fat cat in the air conditioning is more fulfilled than me. Not necessarily. That person may have more headaches, be more miserable, be more unfulfilled, but sought it out, wanted to be in that position. You have to want it badly because you have to compete for it. But it's not necessarily more fulfilling.
No. I mean, as you climb the ranks, you realize that, you know, every new job title comes with its own set of
misery.
I wouldn't say misery. It's just responsibilities and things you have to keep up with and deal with and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But if we're trying to tell people you're going to be fulfilled by work, there are going to be a lot of disappointed campers at that workplace. It's more you get paid from doing work, and then hopefully you can make something out of it that is satisfying to you.
Out of the job or out of your life outside of the job or both?
Well, our generation and certainly where I come from, and there's been many a movie made about it, which is like you go in and you're uncomfortable and unhappy kind of working for the man from Monday to Friday, and then Friday you punch out at 4 o'clock and then you get to begin having fun.
Right.
That was the edict. Those were the rules. Work sucked. And then you punched out on Friday. Now it's time to enjoy yourself. I mean, I remember those days of like sitting in some fucked up, horrible building, you know, built in the 20s in Koreatown, you know, earthquake rehab, you know, 5-6 story brick facade. The place was, you know, was just a flop house. Like it was just every unit. It's funny. We used to, that's kind of interesting, Drew. We do this big rap about low cost housing. We need low cost housing. These places I was working on off of, I'll figure it out, you know, Western Wilshire, Western Normandy, you know, really weird kind of shitty part of town.
Yeah.
Every one of these buildings that we were doing earthquake rehab on, built in the 20s, maybe the 30s, every single one, every unit was the same. You know, there was no two-bedroom units or, you know, penthouse, or it was all the same unit. It had a small lobby with a, you know, desk to the left where kind of the manager was. The manager had a small bedroom living quarters sort of attached to that room.
Right.
She lived
back there.
Millicent lived back there. Yeah. You then an endless hall,
just a straight hall
that just went all the way back to the back of the unit,
yeah,
which is 150 feet or whatever. The back unit was small concrete with like a clothesline or places you could hang your clothes. You know, there was no washer dryer units, you know, nothing. You'd walk up 3 stairs. There was a small elevator with the kind of folding metal, you know, bifolding
gate.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And it wasn't bifolding. It was just, you know, scissor collapse,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You take the elevator up and whatever floor you're on,
same.
Every single unit was the same.
Was it one room and a bathroom kind of thing?
It had a kitchen. You'd walk in. There was one main room, smallish. One smallish bathroom off of that main room. Murphy bed on the wall in that main room. And as you'd walk through it, turn to the left, smallish kind of galley kitchen. Mm. Every single unit was that. Probably 550 square feet or something all in with the kitchen, the bathroom. It was enough for 2 people to live or 1 person to live. And each building had, 57 units in it. And it didn't take up much of a footprint. It was just small, very cheap, and, efficient. Like, you know, you'd probably walk in the front door, check with the supervisor, you know, receptionist, manager, whatever, get your mail or whatever it was, or notes. Somebody came by, wants you to call them or something, and head on up to your unit. Every unit was the same. So this notion of like, we need to build low cost housing, that we did build. We built a ton of that shit. All those, that whole corridor there. And I got to think of the name of that street. Gary will help me find it, but that's what those were. And they were, look, I say built in the 20s, could have been built in the teens. I don't know, just bricks. That was it.
Were they brick sort of rectangular buildings? Were they sort of
adobe
kind of?
No, they were
the brick.
Brick facade.
Yeah.
They were, you know, 80 feet wide, and then they went back like 120 feet,
yeah,
and then they went up like 5-6 stories with a, you know, a mansard, I think they called it at the top, and a parapet, like kind of a flat roof, and that was it. And people just live there. And by the way, the people whose units I worked on, they were subsidized, low cost, you know, whatever. These were people that were not going to work.
Well, I was going to say, back then,
Mariposa. Yeah. How'd you get that one, Gary?
Because we
looked in the past.
We sent someone over there to try to get some information on it, and I have always kept that email, so I sort of knew keywords to search.
All right.
But it's 520 South Mariposa, to be even more specific.
Well, we'll see if we can find a picture. Drew, take care of your business there, please.
All right. Our friends at Guru Nanda, first impressions are important. One of the first things people notice is your smile. Pulling oil, most natural and effective way to help your oral microbiome stay in balance. That's right, plays an important role. Guru Nanda is America's number one pulling oil. In addition to helping establish the microbiome balance, It's good for removing stains, not enamel. It's simple, natural, proven, non-toxic, great-tasting, oral wellness. Just shake the bottle, pour into the providing measuring cup, swish for 2 minutes, spit, rinse, and brush. Pulling oil, it's something that's been around for a long time, and Guru Nanda was first to it. Right, Gary?
That is right. The right oral care is crucial to your overall well-being. Guru Nanda is offering something special for our listeners. For a limited time, you can save $3 off each bottle purchased exclusively at Walmart. To redeem, grab your Guru Nanda pulling oil at Walmart and check out using the 51 Savings app. That's not all. Guru Nanda also likes to treat his friends, so he's giving away $500 gift cards. Just go to GuruNanda.com/win for your chance to win a $500 Walmart gift card.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. The TV upstairs with the plug is not on, Gary, so I don't have any plugs. But you can go to adamcarolla.com. I got a book coming out. Pre-order it. Just helps. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com. Check out the pods there. DrDrew.tv for the streaming program. We'll see you there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.